thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Romans chapter 1, look at verse 19, if you will, with me. It says, they know the truth. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. They know the truth about God. Why? Because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. You can't get up in the morning, can't do anything without seeing the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Paul makes it very clear that there is evidence all around us, especially here in Colorado. If people live in other parts of the world are without excuse, we in Colorado, you know, the beauty of walking out just on to my driveway today and getting in my car about 7:45 and just the skies and the weather and everything else, you just rejoice automatically. I think that's what Paul's saying here. It's so obvious around us. You look at these things and we don't realize that there's a God, there's a creator, put this all together. But the major point here, I think, is that all of it reveals something about God. So all of creation reveals something about God. We just need to take time and examine it. Ponder, what is it that this part of God's creation is speaking to me? We want to do that this morning. We're going to look at one of God's creation, the eagle. In all of its majesty, I don't think you can find another animal that equals the majesty of the eagle and all that it does and accomplishes. It's mentioned over 33 times in the Bible. So there's something about the eagle that captured many people's hearts, but it's also captured God's heart, making this creation, God saying, wow, that's pretty good what it can do. So let's take a look at it. Solomon, who we know, and all that he had, all the position that he had, the finances that he had, the prestige that he had, the wisdom that he had. There was no one like Solomon. And yet Solomon said that the eagle is too wonderful for me to describe and explain. He just couldn't comprehend all of what the eagle was about. When I behold the way of the eagle in the air, he said, Proverbs 30, verse 19. So there was a time and many, many times in Solomon's life when he would observe the eagle, maybe where it was nesting on the top of a high tree or in the mountains of Israel, maybe in its flight as he pondered its flight and the majestic spread of its wings, and he would think, gee, there's so much to this. I can't seem to comprehend it all. Yet Paul tells us that there's something about the eagle, like other parts of God's creation, that speak about the invisible qualities or natures, characteristics of God. What's so special about the eagle? Well, there's a couple things. Let me mention them. Number one, how well it sees. How well it sees. It has great vision from 2 miles up in the air. Think about this, over 10,000 feet up in the air. An eagle in its flight can spot its prey on the ground. Great vision. Unbelievable vision. It can see things that other people cannot see. Magnificent vision, you could say. And the Bible tells us without a vision, the people perish. Something about having a vision. And you know, if you don't have a vision for the future, you really can't have power for the present. Let me explain that just a little bit. It makes sense. You got to have some vision for your future. You got to have some dream that you're dreaming, that you want to accomplish, some goal that you want to attain to, some place you want to come to in your relationship with God. And that vision wakes you up in the morning and it starts you on your way. And the very fact that you have a vision, you have something that you believe is going to happen today, gives us the power for the present. We can live in the present because of our vision for the future. The eagle has great vision. It can dive from that 2 miles and see some prey, maybe a mouse running across a field. And it goes into a dive that will reach speeds of over 100 miles per hour. That's something I would love to see. There's a couple things I dream of seeing. I'm not going to say they're on my bucket list because I have a whole long time. I'll make my bucket list up maybe 20 years from now or something like that. But to see an eagle soar through the skies at 100 miles an hour, whew, going into a dive. I know there was one thing I wanted to see, and I thought I would have an opportunity when I went to Alaska. I wanted to behold the aurora borealis. I heard about it. Heard other people have seen it that live north part of our country. And that's when the skies illuminate and just begin to explode with all kind of beauty. And we made a trip to Alaska, and I happened to take my mother along. It was kind of a missions trip because we have a missions outpost in North Pole, Alaska, that sends out radio and TV signal to all the tribes and all the Eskimos that live along the river, and also goes into Russia. It's been a great outreach up there for almost 50 years. So we traveled up there. I remember it was one evening, it was late. It was a time of the year when you don't expect to see the aurora borealis, but I put my mom, so to speak, to bed. I dropped her off at her cabin, and I was headed across this dirt road to my cabin. And I got in the middle of the road, and I'll never forget this. I said, God, I would love to see the aurora borealis. And I was looking up when I said it, and you won't believe it, the skies exploded with colors that were just swaying back and forth. And I went into this, I started bawling. I mean, I was just crying for two reasons. Number one, because I thought, God, you're just doing this for me. Nobody else sees this but me right now. I thought it was a symphony of just God orchestrating on my behalf. But the other reason is the splendor of it all. That just in creation, and without going into the details, but we know it has something to do with the gases in the air and how they crash into one another and explode with all this color and some reflection of God's light, the sun. But it was a beautiful thing, and I will never forget that. That happened 20 years ago. And there's so much around us that we experience and that we see that if we would just take the time, we would begin to understand something about our God who created all of this. God, I believe, by His Spirit, would reveal it to us. This eagle has a wingspan of 7.5 feet, and it can attack even larger animals. It's been known to get a hold of a small antelope or something like that, and if just at the right speed and right time, it can lift that antelope right off the ground and take it to where it wants to devour it itself. Now, there's something about the nature of the eagle that it doesn't like to eat dead food. Now, I've read that if there's a time of famine and a scarcity of food, it will do that. But its nature is to eat live food or living thing. It only feasts on fresh meat. It won't feed on dead things. Another thing about the eagle, it's faithful. It mates for life. When an eagle finds its mate, that's it. It mates for life. So it talks about the faithfulness. And again, the faithfulness of our God. When I think of someone who is saved, who's come to know Christ as their Savior, and someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe we're to be like that eagle. We're to be strong like the eagle. We're to see things that maybe other people cannot see because of our relationship with the Lord. And for sure, we're to be faithful. We're to be faithful to our God. We're to be faithful to our mates. We're to be faithful to our children. We're to be faithful to our responsibilities. And for sure, we shouldn't feast on dead things. If we're going to feast on anything, it should be on living things. The living Word of God should be, our appetite should only be for that. We have a higher way of living. I know when Jesus called me, and by His grace and mercy touched my life, and you know, I know He was calling me to a higher way of living. How many understand what I'm talking about? I wasn't to live like the old self in my selfish ways. I wasn't to live any longer an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I was to live, there was a higher calling on my life just because I was a believer. And I think that's true. We're all called to that higher level of living. Let me give you a couple qualities, additional qualities of the ego. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5. Solomon is describing riches and the uncertainty of riches, and he likens it this way. He says, they fly away like an eagle toward the heaven. That gives us some insight of the flight of the eagle toward the heaven. The eagle, in another translation, says, sets its eyes upon the heavens, and another says, it flies into the sun. And the reason it can fly into the sun is because God created this beautiful creature, this bird, with two sets of eyelids so that it could fly in the heavens. It could fly toward the suns and be protected. We know that our help comes from where? Our help comes from above. Our help doesn't come from below, it comes from above. When trouble comes, we should fly into the sun, S-O-N. And that should be our flight. That should be our refuge. Apostle Paul, once again in Colossians, says we're to set our affections on what? Things above and not things on the earth. If you have been raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above and not below. Set your mind on things that are not on this earth. I like this translation. Well, it's not a translation. It's more of a paraphrase message. It says this: don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Absorb with things right in front of you. But look up, be alert at what's going on around Christ. See things from his perspective. I like that one. The righteous, we're told, learn to look up. I don't think we were designed to look down like the eagle. I don't think we were designed to be depressed. I think we were designed to look up. I don't think we were designed to be hopeless or defeated. We weren't designed to dig a hole and bury our head in it and say it's over. No, but there's one truth after another that says he's high and lifted up. And we need to look up to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Two times the eagle will set its eyes on the heavens, will move toward the heavens. Number one, when a storm comes. Think of this. When a storm comes, he's different than the rest of the birds that God created. You know, you ever look at a chicken coop when a storm comes? They're running all over the place. I guess you could say like chickens with their head cut off. I don't know. But they're running all over. They're hiding. They're all freaked out. They don't know where to go. Turkeys do the same thing. But eagles fly. Turkeys run and hide. Eagles soar. Turkeys run around from place to place. Eagles rise to the occasion. When the eagle senses a storm coming, you know what he does? He challenges the storm. You know, when you have Christ in you, you don't have to be defeated by the storm. It doesn't have to tear you down. If you believe that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world, or that I can do... See, when I do that, I'm looking for you to say the rest of it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's how we've been created. That's some of the things that we learn from the eagle. He doesn't run from a storm. He looks, flies above the storm. You know, the storm ought to take you higher. That's the point. The storm ought to take you higher. Now, another time that the eagle soars toward the heavens is when its enemy comes after him. Now, the eagle doesn't have too many enemies. He's top of the food chain, matter of fact. But there are some enemies, for sure. One of those enemies is the condor. Now, the condor is larger than the eagle. It can weigh up to 25, 30 pounds. It has a wingspan of 10 feet. But it can't maneuver like the eagle. Can't fly as high as the eagle. But what it will do, if it gets hold, and that's a big if it gets hold of the eagle, what it will do, it puts its claws into the eagle and it stops flying. It brings in its wings because he wants its weight to bring that eagle down to the ground. And that condor knows, if I can get that eagle down on the ground, I can defeat him. I can't win the battle up here, but if I can get him down on the ground, I can defeat him. The condor is a cousin to the buzzard. Gives you a little idea where he's coming from. So it pulls it to the ground, and it's the only way that he can defeat him. And he knows, as long as I can keep that ego on the ground, I have a pretty good chance that I'm going to be the victor. The same thing is true with your enemy. If he can keep you on the ground, it's just a matter of time before he defeats you. See, he doesn't want you to soar like an eagle. He doesn't want you to fly to the heavens and seek your refuge in the sun. He doesn't want you to have the ability to soar and outmaneuver him in the heavenly places. He wants you to be down. He knows if he can keep you down, he could defeat you. You know, there are some times to fight, and then there's other times for flight. Sometimes it's not a fight that God wants you to fight. You just need to soar to the heavens, find your refuge in the Lord. Let him fight your battle for you. The eagle will fly straight toward the sun. You know, the enemy can't do that. Only you have refuge in the sun. If you have a relationship with Christ, you're the only one that has access through the precious blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You can fly right to the throne room of God. Enemy can't do that. So what's the point? Don't fight down here. Your battle isn't with flesh and blood. Paul says the same thing. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But what does the enemy try to get us to do? Our battles with our mates are flesh and blood. Our battles with our children are right down here, flesh and blood. We're going back and forth. We're arguing. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's going to get the last word in? And as long as he can keep us fighting down here, guess what? He has a good chance he's going to defeat you. But the moment you soar to the heavens, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You ought to be soaring in the heavens if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Don't go down to the level of your enemy. Does that make sense? Yeah. Stay up where you belong. Keep your eye on the sun. Now, something about the eagle, another quality, it will build its nest in high places. I want you to get that. An eagle will build its nest in high places. It'll find the highest tree. It'll find the highest mountain. It finds the cliffs of the rock. That's where it wants to build its nest. That's where we ought to be building our nest. You know, we don't want to just dwell in low places. We want to be in high places. I want to, you know, I was thinking about it just this past week. My prayer has been this recently. I said, Lord, you've done a lot of good things in my life. Lord, I've been involved in a lot of great things. We have a great church. We've been able to accomplish great things for you. You've allowed us to participate in that. It's been a wonderful thing. But Lord, there's something, there's still a holy discontent in me that I want to soar higher than I've ever soared before. Lord, I want to go higher and higher in my relationship with you. Lord, I don't know what it's going to take, but I want to move there. I don't want to be satisfied with the comforts of my home down here or the accomplishments of what we've done. Lord, I know there's something bigger. I know there's something greater. I know there's a closer place with you. I know there's more of you that needs to be revealed to me. I want that more than anything else. Not only do I want it for me, I want it for you. I want it for this church. Because I think that's the place where we need to be. Build your nest in the highest place that you can get with the Lord. So he'll build that nest. And it's a marvel in itself if you read up on the nest that it could build. There was one discovered that was 2 ton. 4,000 pounds was this nest that the eagle had built. Can you imagine that? It takes twigs and it takes branches and it builds that nest and it's rather deep. But then after it gets all the twigs and the branches in there for the kind of the foundational part of it and the structural part of it, then it will take the fur from the animals that is devoured and it will line that nest with its fur. It'll take the softer leaves and it'll line that nest. So they're planning for a family. So when the little eaglets come along, they're going to have the comfort of a nice home. They want to live in that home. So those eaglets are born and they just eat and sleep in that very comfortable nest protected on the high places from all other enemies. You know, but there comes a point where change has to take place. Mommy and daddy get together and they agree it's time. So what do they do? Here's what they do. They start taking the fur out of the nest. And they take the fur out. They take all those soft leaves out. And before you know it, because all the fur is gone, those little eaglets are being pricked on the side by the twigs and the branches. Dad, Mom, what's wrong here? I mean, it used to be comfortable. I'm feeling a little uneasy. So he feels uncomfortable. Now, what a great illustrative lesson for us, for all of us. You know, when God wants to do something greater in your life, most likely the first thing he's going to make happen is you less comfortable where you're at. Does it make sense? Listen, we kind of fall into comfort. I'm into comfort. Ask my wife. I mean, I'm into comfort. I like being comfortable. I like comfortable things. So I'm into, but I think we're all like that a little bit. We like comfort. We get settled in. We've worked hard for our houses. We've got the cars we have now, the job. We've got the kids in place. And the comfort at home. Just don't stir up my nest. Most people, they don't volunteer to move. So I think what God does is start taking the fur out of our nest. I think it starts taking out, we get a little pricked where we're at, and we begin to wonder what in the world's going on. Here's a great illustration of a man of God in the Old Testament. His name was Elijah. Elijah knew the mind of God. He heard the voice of God. He was bold enough to hear God's voice and went right to the king, told the king they're living in sin, they got to do something about it. He confronted the prophets of Baal. He took them to the mountaintop. He slew the prophets of Baal. He won a great victory, turned Israel back. It was all because he was led by the Spirit of God. He had the boldness and the courage. But there was a famine that was going to take place in the land. So God took Elijah and he put him beside a brook, a little babbling brook. And he put him there because that was the only brook that was really still running. And Elijah could drink from that brook and he fed him by the ravens. But I find it interesting, in order to get Elijah to move to the next step that God had for him, you would think that Elijah had a relationship with the Lord, that all God had to do is come and say, okay, Elijah, it's time to get up. I want you to go over here. I have a job for you to do. But if you read between the lines, what did God do? He dried up the brook. Why? Because maybe even Elijah, maybe even men of God and women of God, maybe even very mature believers can come to a place of comfort where the only thing that's going to move us is if the brook dries up. Something happens in our life that drives us to our knees. The job that we thought was secure is no longer there. The children that we thought were all in place are all of a sudden scattered and going here and making decisions they shouldn't have made. And you said, man, I prayed for 20 years. I thought they were there. And now I got to go back to praying. Do you hear what I'm saying? There are things of life, and it's the discomforts that come to our life that drive us to our knees or drive us to high places to seek out God and what he has for us next, because he has something better for us. So it's a great illustration. I think we all need a little nudging now and again. Now, the eaglet is about to make its greatest discovery. See, the nest was never intended to be the permanent home. It was just temporary. Nothing in this world should become permanent to you as a believer. Now hear me. There is nothing in this world that we should put our roots so deep that it becomes a permanent thing for us, because Abraham, the father of our faith, who went on before us, you know what he said? He said, all of my days I was a pilgrim and I was a stranger in a strange land. Said, I never put any roots down. I never had a permanent dwelling. I lived in tents, so I could just take up that tent and move it to another place. And listen, there's a lot in that for us today in modern day Christianity. Do not put your roots down too deep in this world. The earth passes away and all the things that are here. There's only one thing that will last, and that's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one thing that is eternal, is that relationship that you build here on this earth. So if you're feeling a little secure, you know what I would suggest? It would better that you go to the Lord right now and ask him to stir you up before he has to come and stir you up. Go to the rock before the rock falls on you, so to speak. Nothing is permanent, it's temporary. So there are times we begin to feel uncomfortable. It's during those times that we don't really understand what's going on. We can't pinpoint the problem. There's an uneasiness. There's an anxiety about our life. There's a dissatisfaction. So what do? I guess that eaglet would say, Mommy and Daddy, what are you doing to us? I think it's just like us. We begin to blame our mates. Our mate is not doing what she should do, or he's not doing what he should do. We blame our children. We blame our jobs. We blame our church. We blame our God. We're blaming everybody else around us for this uneasiness and anxiety and frustration and that unexplainable turmoil that's going on, except looking inside at ourselves and saying, maybe God's trying to do something in me. Maybe God's trying to correct something. Maybe God's trying to take off the rough edges. Maybe God's trying to get me to dig in, to fly to heights that I haven't flown before. But we're so busy blaming other people that we don't get the message. It wasn't Mommy and Daddy's fault. It was the eaglet. It was time to move on. We need to move on. We need to learn to identify the problem. You see, maybe something big is about to happen, and you need to look and wait on God to see what it is. Wrestle it out with God. The nest is never your source, Jesus is. The nest will change. God doesn't change. He's always the source of things. So that daddy eagle will take that eagle, little eaglet after it's been a little bit uncomfortable, and it's time to get out of here, and he puts it on its back, and I'm sure the eaglet's saying, wow, this is pretty good. I'm going for a ride with Daddy. So he's riding with Daddy, and they're soaring through the skies, and the wind is blowing in his hair, and his feathers are going back, and he's looking at things he hadn't seen before, and he's just enjoying this day. And then without any warning, without any previous flying lessons, that old daddy just flips. And that eaglet falls off his wings and just, he doesn't soar. He tumbles. He scratches. He's screaming. He's confused. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He's getting closer and closer from 10,000 feet down to 5, 3, 1, 500. And just before he hits the ground, you think the end of the story is he just soars off. He doesn't. That daddy just sweeps down. Shoo! And comes underneath that eaglet. And just before it crashes, he takes it back off again. That eaglet goes, Dad, wow, thank God you are here. I thought, what happened up there? Did you run into something and I just fell off? And I didn't understand it, but thank God, here we are again. And just as he's thinking that thought, flips him again, and that bird comes falling off. And he said, Dad, I think you tried that this time. And he's falling down, and this might take 2, 3, 4 times. You know, the first lesson the eagle learns is not how to fly. The first lesson the eaglet learns is that his daddy can fly faster than he can fall. Come on, turn to someone and say, I can get that. His daddy can fly faster than he can fall. Sometimes our life just seems out of control. We're just spinning out of control. Everything is falling apart. We're not going to make it. It is just too late. The enemy is pounding at us. We're defeated. We no longer have the joy of the Lord. We're no longer, this relationship is breaking up. Listen, I want to tell you something. God can fly faster than you're falling. Never forget it. He'll fly faster. Go all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve fell. God already had a plan of redemption in place. God already was ahead of Adam and Eve, knowing that they were going to sin. He put the plan of redemption in. He flies faster than you can fall, and he always will. So whatever situation you're in, whatever difficulty you're faced with right now, you need to know something about your dad. In Isaiah chapter 40, most of us are familiar with one verse in that chapter, and that's verse 31. But I want you to look at the previous verses. Verse 28 says, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. God doesn't fall asleep on the job. He's not weary of picking you up. The righteous fall how many times? 7 times. They get back up again. He understands. His understanding is unsearchable. We might not always know what's going on. That eaglet didn't know what was going on, but the daddy knew what was going on. His power, he gives power to the weak and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint. Every time I say that word youths, I think of that movie, My Cousin Vinny. Come on, who's with me there? Do you know? Youths, all right. I don't know, it just pops in my head. Youths? Anyway, right in the middle of a spiritual message, and I think of My Cousin Vinny. Verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall what? Come on, say it with me. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't it interesting God uses the eagle? He said, that's what happens when we're weak and we're out of strength and we're out of answers and we're out of solutions and we're at our wit's end and our back's against the wall. You wait upon the Lord. Now, that's an interesting word there, wait. It has a meaning of like a manila rope that has three strands to it. And you know the strands are interwoven. What gives it its strength is that it's all interwoven. And the word wait simply means to get a hold of God. Those who get a hold of God, and you might not get an answer, but you got a hold of God. And if you get a hold of God, I don't care where you go, you're not going to sink. The strength is just the fact that you have a hold of God. And you got a hold of God, you interwoven with God. You build on your relationship. When you don't have any answers out here, keep building on your relationship with the Lord. Keep drawing nearer. Fly into the sun. Fly closer to God and get near to His heart. So you're intertwined with God that no matter what happens, you'll be safe. The Amplified Version said, who expect, who look for, who hope in, they shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. One last interesting quality. The eagle revives itself. The eagle revives itself. When that eagle gets older, when its feathers are kind of broken, worn out, kind of flimsy, not like they were before strong, and something happens to its beak, calcium deposit begins to build up on its beak, and as a result, he can't open his mouth like he did before. And there's a certain scream that the eagle has that terrifies its enemy, but there's a beauty in the scream. It's just a screeching through the air, and it's the eagle in its flight. But he can't do that anymore. So somehow in this eagle, there's something ingrained in this eagle that he normally tries to make it back to where he had his nest in the high rocks before. And although he can't fly to that height, you know what he does? He actually hops from rock to rock, climbing higher and higher. He's using everything that he has to get back to where he was. And when he gets up there, he starts plucking away at his feathers. He plucks away at his feathers, pulls them all out where he's completely bald. He takes his beak and he pounds it against the rocks. He said it's a bloody scene. It begins to bleed, but he's knocking away the calcium deposits so his mouth can open up. What a beautiful picture of God reviving someone who's maybe had some years, spiritual years, or fought some battles in this world and are weary and their feathers are broken and not working like they used to work before, and your mouth is no longer open to give praise to God. The calcium deposits are there. You need to be like the eagle. Now, the one thing I know in here is that we can't revive ourselves. But God can revive us. We can open up our hearts and we can say, God, here I am by faith. Lord, I'm not where I want to be. Lord, I'm weary of life and experiences have got me down. My feathers aren't working like they used to. I want to soar. I want to maneuver better than my enemy. The enemy has been pounding at me. He's got me on the ground and I can't get out of it. I'm not praising you like I used to. I'm not thanking you, Lord. I'm not opening my mouth. There's too much calcium deposit on my life. Come, break it all up. And I'll tell you what God will do. He'll revive you. guarantee because he wants you to soar. Let's give God thanks. Let's stand together.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.